Reformed Church.
You know, there has been, obviously, it's very apparent, a lot of things going, you know, that the Lord has been reminding me about just almost on a constant, regular basis about sons and fathers, right? And, you know, we went away just for a couple of days. It was a business trip for a few days, and Miss Kim and Pastor Mike and little Nathan came with me too. It was just to Massachusetts, but, you know, just, you know, time driving and, you know, a good amount of time to think as well. But the cool thing was, even while I was away, it was the reminder about the Son of God, or being sons. But it was interesting. If we can just take a look real quick at 1 John. I just want to show you something. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 15. And it just says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So that's talking about salvation, right? That when you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he and God. Now, that's not the only time that it says that. But have you ever thought, like that's it? I have to say, Jesus is the Son of God and that's it, you're saved? It seems like there's something missing, right? But it's not that. It's that that's really a loaded statement, right? Because think about what you're saying. When one of the biggest one of the biggest arguments with the people of Israel, not really a good argument, not a good argument, but an argument nonetheless, is that the people of Israel, some of them knew Jesus, right? They knew his natural parents. They knew his brothers and sisters, right? So, and sometimes you don't think about the fact, oh, that Jesus had sisters too, but he did. He had brothers and he had sisters. So because they knew him that way, they knew him in the flesh, it was hard for them to receive the fact that, you know, that he was sent by God. But when someone believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in context, what you're saying is you believe that he is just like God, right? So now that takes him out of the arena of having earthly parents and all of this, right? And it doesn't mean that he didn't have earthly guardians, right? And that that Mary was not his mother, but in you confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're saying this one that I'm looking at, he is just like his heavenly Father. And that's why the Jewish people were upset at him when he declared that Jesus was his father, because they were saying you're making yourself equal with God. So confessing, when a person confesses, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or if you ask someone, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They may not entirely understand what they're answering and say, oh yeah, of course I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But that means that you believe that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And then if you believe that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, why did he do that, right? Why did God send his only begotten Son into the world, right? So it's a loaded, totally loaded statement to confess, right, or to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because it ties into all of those things. That means then that he is the Christ, right? We don't have to go there, but 1 John 5:1, right? This was in 4:1, but 1 John 5:1, I'll just go there. It said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, right? So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you believe that he is the Christ, the anointed one that was to come, right? The one that was prophesied that would come, there he is right there, right? So you believe that so looking at Jesus as the Son of God, you're saying he is just like God. Therefore, even the works that he does testify and say, I am just like my Father. I am the one that my Father has sent. And he said that over and over again about himself. I am the one that was sent by God, right? And for all of the reasons that were prophesied and testified about him, that he would come to deliver the people of Israel, right, to save the world. Now, the cool thing about that is that, you know, this ties so well into something that we've been teaching for years, right? That you can know who you are by beholding the Lord, right? Because it gets really, really very specific, right? When you start looking at him, what does it mean for Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, right? Then you get into all of these things where you say, well, of course, it's not odd then for Jesus to work the works of God, right? For Jesus to do everything that God could do, for Jesus to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. None of that is out of the ordinary because, he, of course, he's just like God, right? And there are so many people across the world and across the churches that would believe that. Of course, that is not odd. He's the Son of God. He's just like God. But then when you get into things where the Lord begins to say, you know, that, and we brought this up before, that we are his brethren and that we call his Father, that we call his Father our Father, right? That his Father is our Heavenly Father, right? Then you know, I know that people have a really tough time saying this, right, or swallowing this, because calling yourself a son of God sounds like blasphemy to people. But understanding what you're saying when you say son, right, saying that Jesus is the Son of God or calling him the Son of God doesn't mean that you're just calling him like the Christ. It does. In other words, calling ourselves sons of God doesn't make us Christs, right? But we are anointed by God, right? With the same anointing that he was anointed with. Now, our calling is different, right? The purpose why Jesus came is not the same purpose that we have. He came to die on the cross for our sins, right? And we were made sons, right? We didn't enter into our glory because of what we've done. We entered into our glory because of what he did, right? Into his glory, I should say, even more correct, right? We entered into his glory. So when you think about the whole thing about him being a son, because, right, and a son then has a father, and a son is like his father, then yeah, even though you know, you may know or even have met my parents, right, you have to understand about me, and what you have to understand about yourself and what Christians just in general have to understand about themselves is that, you know, how the Bible talks about our citizenship, right, being in heaven, that being able to understand then who you are in this world, right? We are sons of God. We are children of a God that is not of this world. In other words, our Father is not of this world. And you can just, you have to understand that. I mean, that's something that comes to you by revelation. I mean, it's just easily said, but not easily understood, right? You are... Your father is not of this world. And the more that you say that, your father is not of this world, and neither is Jesus Christ of this world. He said, they are not of this world as I am not of this world. Like, that's such big, bolder statements that he makes about us, that he says, they are not of this world, just like I'm not of this world. Then you begin, your expectation of yourself begins then to change. Right, because then let me just show you something that we were talking about a couple of services ago. 2 Peter chapter 3, if we can go there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. Excuse me, I had something in my throat. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. And I've been quoting this verse a bit, right? Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, just speaking about earthly things. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons or what manner ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? But again, there's a lot there that we have already talked about and we can just mention again. It's talking about since all earthly things will melt with fervent heat, since all earthly things will be dissolved, and since you are not earthly, right, because you are of a kingdom that is not of this world, right, we are of a kingdom that is cannot be shaken, that will not melt with fervent heat, right? We're of a heavenly kingdom. We have the kingdom of God on the inside of us. So since we are of a heavenly kingdom, look at it this way. Because we are children of God, because we are sons of God, because we are just as he is in this world, then what would you expect out of people like that? What would you expect out of yourself when you say your father is not of this world? So it's a different way of saying, like, what do you expect from heavenly people? You expect heavenly things. You expect things that have to do with eternity and immortality, right? These are the things that should be expected out of the church, right? You shouldn't expect earthly, natural things coming out of the mouths of pastors and teachers, right? You should expect earthly things. You should expect, what type of teaching do you think should be taught to sons of God, right? What type of teaching do you think should be brought to heavenly people? Talk to them about earthly sins? Talk to them about earthly things that they have to do? Talk to them about earthly works that they have to do? Or do you teach them to set their eyes on heavenly things and to not just think about things on this earth, but to think on heavenly things, to think about those things that are of a good report about how Christ, what he has done and how he has made you, right? When you begin to think about, you know, our Father is not of this world. I mean, as long as you continue to identify with your earthly descendancy and what country you're from and whether you're Hispanic or you're black or you're white, you know, we get wrapped up. I mean, this world, it is obviously very apparent. It is stuck in an identity crisis, right? It wants to so badly identify with something. And people should want to identify with something. The one that they should want to identify is God, right? Our Heavenly Father, right? Our Heavenly Father. And if the thing that the Lord began to remind me more and more is continue to remember that I am your Father. What does that do to your mind? Continue to remember that I am your Father, that you are mine and that I am yours, that I made you this way through the sacrifice of my Son. I made you a son. Now, I'm going to give you a verse that I thought, you know, it hit me right between the eyes, but I thought it was so cool. Look at this with me and you'll see. I'm sure you will recognize it right away, based on what we're saying, obviously, but Matthew 23 and verse number 9. Look at this real quick. And I guarantee you never looked at this verse like this, but you'll probably never look at it the same again. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Can you see? I hope you see what I'm seeing, right? Why would he say to you, don't call anyone on earth, don't call anyone on earth your father? Number one, because you're not earthly. And what he's saying is you have not been made like anyone earthly. So don't point at someone that is earthly and say, that's who I'm like, right? Because you are not like anyone earthly, right? You are like your, he wants you to understand you are heavenly. What kind of conduct then, it gives it away, but godliness is what should be seen, right? Godliness is part of what you received, right? He said, what kind of godliness should be seen? I mean, I think there's only one kind of godliness, right? Godliness or godlikeness, that is what should be expected out of the church. That's what you should expect to see out of yourself, right? Godliness, godlike qualities, godlike actions, godlike speech, to speak like your father, to move and act like your father, right? To live the way your father lives, right? To have what your father has, right? So when he says, don't, I mean, I took that totally different, right? When the Lord was showing me that, I was like, okay, Lord, that is awesome. You're telling me, right? Don't look at anyone on this earth as though you are like them. You're like me. You are just like me, right? And that reminder of, you know, the very next day, I'm in a meeting with a bunch of people that the majority of them, if not almost all of them, right, don't know the Lord. And you look at yourself differently, right? And instead of being in a room and do what people normally do when they're in a room with a lot of people, right? They're comparing themselves against other people and seeing, is this one fat? Is this one skinny? Has this one put on weight? Does this one look nice? Does this one look old? Does this one talk nice? Does this one not talk nice? How do I talk in relationship to them? Do they talk better than me? Do I talk better than them? Do they look better than me? Do I look better than them? You spend all this time in your brain doing all of this checking. And if you think that you look and act and feel better than all of them, then you sit up a little straighter in your chair because you're better than everybody else, right? But instead of doing all of that, right, the sense in your mind and in your heart that you are not of this world, not of this earth, you just expect different. You expect things to go differently. You the expectation that you live with of the glory that you have on the inside of you, like you have a glory and that is not of this world, a splendor, something that is seen from you that is not earthly, right? To be able to, you expect that for other people to see that. Like, you don't want to hide that. You don't want to put out that light, right? You want the glory of God, which is in you, to be seen, right? For God to be able to express himself through you, for him to work, right? So it's just, it's an awesome thing when you just, to have the Lord whisper in your ear and say, you're just like me. Don't call anyone on this earth father, right? It just, I tell you, it's a beautiful reminder. And then, of course, you know, some of the things that I mentioned to you, Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is obviously not of this world. Our citizenship is of heaven. We're born of God, right? Born of his spirit. Some things that I may share with you just in maybe services to come. Some of what I was telling you here is related to a verse that I had looked at and always puzzled me a little bit about being born of water and of the spirit, but just some good stuff there. But yeah, just, you know, I'll stop right there. Just a good reminder to have an expectation of what the Lord, the things that you should see working in your lives, the stuff that should be normal for you. The more and more that you do that look up in your mind to remind yourself where your descendancy comes from, right? It's a funny thing that sometimes when people figure out their descendancy, they change the way that they dress. And they start dressing in the way that the people from where they came from dressed, right? Because they want to so badly identify with something like, I have a heritage, I have a deep, rich heritage and all of this stuff, right? But the thing is, for us to be able to identify with the heritage that we have, right? A long line of sons of God, or people that have been made like God, right? A long heritage of people of faith, all with the same father, with the same qualities, with the same makeup. You know, it's just a very, very cool thing.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.